Like, you filled this form out, you don't remember it? What the hell?
Yeah.
Now, I know he didn't use any of those words, but listen to his tone. Like,
I
appreciate the guy lasting on the call for 8 minutes. I don't know I'd have lasted 8 more seconds if you talked to me that way.
Welcome to Cash Call, the number one real estate sales podcast, where we cover real sales skills in real time, as well as industry vendors, lead providers, CRMs, websites, and top producing teams and agents across North America, all so that you can improve your business in 30 minutes at a time. Cash Call, everybody. Dale Archdeacon, Brian Curtis back for another empowering week so that we can make massive impacts in you, your business, and your life. Brian, good to see you again, sir. It's been a while.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you got to go and do some other things that are non-real estate related, but I've been doing a lot of things, getting some more training around coaching, and it was torture. I did have to go to Hawaii for that training, but I'm okay. I made it back safe. So
sorry to hear that you suffered, but everybody listening appreciates how you suffer for your craft, even when it's in Hawaii.
Yeah, you know, it is funny. Everyone kept telling me, enjoy your vacation. I'm like, I'm working. Finally, I just said, yes, I absolutely. Just people wouldn't believe me. I was actually working.
No, when you say I'm going to Hawaii, they don't care if you're digging ditches or if you're laying on the beach. You're in Hawaii.
Yep.
So I took the whole family to the Grand Canyon. That was a lot of fun. So we went from the hot, hot Phoenix area, water park, all the way up to Grand Canyon, wearing coats and in the snow and everywhere in between. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's crazy how quick the weather could change in that area. I was at the Grand Canyon one time, and it was so cold. It was miserable, as a matter of fact. Like, I was like, why am I doing this? This isn't fun. So
I was surprised. I didn't realize how cold Northern Arizona can get.
Apparently it's a lot colder than I thought as well. So
Yeah. All right. So I've got a call today, and I know you have one too. Should I just go first?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. Great. So we have an older lead that this agent is following up with, and we've got, some good and some could be better that we're gonna work through. So let's get started.
A realtor with Berkshire Hathaway. It looks like you signed up for my website, and I got a notification that said you had some interest in this property on West Michigan Ave. Does that sound familiar at all?
No.
All right. Do you want to see a property, or do you have questions on any houses in Kalamazoo?
Okay. Now, he was calling about a specific property, either a like or an inquiry, right? Somebody favorited or somebody, the guy took some sort of action, right? So he did the right thing and he went directly after the action. But when the guy says he doesn't know, this salesperson went to, well, is there anything that you want to see or do you have any questions about properties in Kalamazoo? What I would do instead is I would switch to our normal intro at that point. If the guy doesn't remember doing it, I would switch to our pretty standard intro, which is, are you planning on buying in the near future or are you just window shopping at this point, right?
I agree.
I would pretty quickly switch over to that. What do you think, Brian?
I agree 100% because ultimately, and it's funny because on my call, you're going to see a problem with the intro as well. And one of the things I think that happens is, and I've been saying this for 20 years, people, give me a script. I'm like, the script is great, except the buyer/seller, whoever you're talking to, they didn't get the script.
Right.
So you've got to be able to pivot and make sure you're driving the conversation. And I understand, that could be challenging. Now, I might have used a different script if I was calling an old lead as well. Because if you introed with, hey, Dale's Brian Curtis reaching out to people who made inquiries in the last 6 months about property, wondering if you guys had considered making a move or you're just window shopping, that script is easier. It covers that entire scenario versus, hey, do you want to go see a house? No,
right.
I filled that form out 9 months ago at 2 o'clock in the morning,
Now, I know in all fairness, I said this was an old lead. I wasn't quite sure whether it was old or not. He went straight for the action the person took, which is the right thing to do. But like Brian's saying, that's the right thing to do if it's within, say, the last week.
Right.
If it's beyond the last week, then you switch over to old lead. Because, I mean, I don't know about you, Brian, but I don't remember what I did last weekend. Right.
Last week,
I'm on Wednesday, Thursday now.
You made it all the way to the weekend. I'm impressed. So, I mean, seriously.
Well, I don't remember Monday either. But,
there you go. That's how I was feeling. It's all the whole week's a blur. So, and, for us to expect somebody who filled out a form a week, 2-3 weeks ago, a month ago, 6 months ago, how on earth are they going to remember that?
No, they're not going to remember. Okay, so he's fixated. He went with a good direction, which is the guy didn't remember, and he said, "Well, do you want to see houses or do you have questions?" So I like the pick a path question. I just think he could have strengthened it, gone to what our normal intro is: "Are you buying in the near future or whatever?" Some are you taking an action or do you want to tell me no? Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
So let's hear. And he gets a little stuck on the property, so I think we could fix that too.
Not right now. I don't.
Okay, because it looks like you signed up. I mean, it's a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,300 square foot house, and you're not looking at all, or even are even thinking about it.
So,
yep.
What I hear this guy saying, and he's not saying it, is, "What the hell, dude?" That's what it feels like the agent's saying. Like, you filled this form out, you don't remember it. What the hell?
Yeah.
Now, I know he didn't use any of those words, but listen to his tone. Like, I appreciate the guy lasting on the call for 8 minutes. I don't know I'd have lasted eight more seconds if you talked to me that way.
Yeah. So this is one of those where it could have broken the conversation and it didn't. Remember, you know how we talk often about the things that you do that don't mess it up, but isn't good practice. This is one of them.
That's exactly my point.
Now, I appreciate what the salesperson's trying to do. What he's trying to do is he's trying to get to motivation, right? It's like, wait a minute, you're not doing anything. You have no motivation or no, you're not doing anything at the moment. Buying or selling is what you're telling me. But you took this action. Why did you take this action? There must be some motivation. Tell me the motivation. That's what he's trying to do right now. But I think he needs to match the lead and back off more.
Well, and again, you know, it obviously worked out for him. So, you know, there's that idea that it's going to work out. But at the end of the day, if I'm trying to find somebody's motivation, I'm not doing it by smacking them around.
Yeah, and I'm going to rewind just a little bit. Let's listen to how many times this salesperson tries to shoot for motivation, and then I want to give some feedback on that.
Any houses in Kalamazoo?
Not right now. I don't.
Okay, because it looks like you signed up. I mean, it's a three-bedroom, two-bath, 1,300 square foot house.
Here's two.
You're not looking at all, or even are you even thinking about it?
We're browsing right now. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Most people that honestly register for the website are just browsing, so not a problem at all. I appreciate you. You signing up.
Here comes three.
Okay.
Yeah. What got you starting to browse? Like, what got you curious about the market?
That's three. I think you might go for four.
We're thinking about it, but it's going to be a little bit.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, when you say, but and what has you curious about the market at all?
There's four. So, holy smokes, dude. Listen, here's my, so Brian, you know, he's driving the ball forward, okay? The salesperson is driving this ball forward, right? Now, we all agree that motivation underpins everything. If somebody doesn't have motivation, they're not going to take action, right? We got him down to window shopping, right? And he said it's going to be for a little bit now. But my point is, after you've asked for motivation once, maybe you take a second bite at the apple. But if somebody's not telling you motivation right away and doesn't have it, and they've told you they're not doing anything, switch. And I would switch to rapport building, right? Which might be, hey, and we've talked about this before. Hey, do you currently live in Kalamazoo or are you trying to move here, right?
Right.
Do you want to move? And I've lived here for X amount of years. I love it, blah, 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 right? So do a little bit of rapport building. Get off the motivation stuff because salespeople, or how do I want to say this? Motivation and hammering on motivation is clearly a sales tactic that every single consumer in the world recognizes.
Yeah, subtlety's a thing.
Yeah, tell me why you want to buy it, Brian. I know you're not buying, but tell me why you wanted to buy in the first place. So what has you thinking about buying, Brian? Right? So, but there must be some underlying reason, Brian, that you even thought about buying in the first place. Tell me what it is. How sales oriented does all of that sound? It is so clear.
Well, and you know, it's funny. Have I earned the right to be that intrusive? It's none of your freaking business. Is part of the thought that probably is going through this guy's head. Like, who the hell are you? We've been on the phone for a minute and 10 seconds and you've asked me four times why I'm going to do or not do a thing.
Yeah.
I don't think you've earned the right. And you know what? As we move forward, as salespeople, we're going to have to change. I mean, I don't want to go into the whole NAR thing, but I do want to say this. We are going to have to show our value with people more theoretically here in a couple months than we do today. Well, you don't show your value by beating somebody up.
True. Now, let's talk about objections. So I want to start with the first objection that we got. Not even the very initial one where he says, do you remember the house, or, you know, that the guy's not looking right now. But here's where we hit a clear objection chain.
We're thinking about it, but it's going to be a little bit.
It's going to be a little bit.
I mean, when you say, but and what has
hit pause real quick
about the market?
I know you're going to do that. Another thing I would suggest is you don't need to tell him it's fine.
Yeah.
Because if I call you, then everything that the buyer does is fine. You know why? Because he didn't call me. Understand that when I call you, you don't need to tell me that my opinion, my idea, my process is fine. I'm aware.
Yeah.
So it's a little thing. So.
Yeah. So the first one is, it will be a little bit, right? Which means not now. So he said not now. That was the first one.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like, what has you wanting to browse?
I'm just looking at the fact that prices are way overinflated right now on houses, and interest rates are really high, and the houses don't last long.
Sure.
That's and two.
So we're just looking. That's it.
Okay. Got it. And so I'll ask it again. Like, are you not happy with where you're currently at, or
He goes to motivation again. So I here's what I would do, Brian. With this objection chain, first objection, it will be a little bit. Oh, got it. Okay. When you say little bit, what are you thinking? Just tell me what you think, right? When you say a little bit, that's one question. Or if he says, yeah, it'll be a little bit. Oh, got it. So tell me what makes, hold on, how do I formulate this question? If I come up with another one, it's going to be a little bit. Oh, got it. Okay. So sounds like you must have weighed all the factors and decided that down the road a ways makes more sense. What weighed into that decision for you? How does it make the most sense to do it later on? I want to really get down to that core of how you made that decision without making you wrong or without arguing with you.
Yeah, and here's another version of the same question is, so you're going to wait a little bit. What's the driving factor for you there? Out of curiosity, you know, what has you wait?
Yep.
Some version of that is fine too.
Yeah, so that's where Brian and I would go into the face of that first objection a little bit. And then the guy is naturally going to give you a second objection, which is prices and interest rates, right? And so one way of potentially dealing with that is, got it. So how are prices and interest rates impacting your ability or decision to buy, right? He's going to explain that to me. What we get down to in this call is that he can afford $1,400 a month, right? So that's where we get to with this. Brian, when he said prices and interest rate, do you have any other question that you would have asked or anything else you would have done differently there?
I'm going to just generalize because I would have driven the car to a different location than we're at, if that makes sense. But if somebody says, you know, price, out of curiosity, what's a comfortable monthly payment for you is something that somebody could ask. Or out of curiosity, what do you feel is a comfortable price that you would feel comfortable with? Some version of that. And the reason being is, here's a problem, and it's a sad problem, in my opinion, but there's going to be a bunch of people who just can't afford to buy a house.
True.
I mean, at the end of the day, if you want to buy a $1,400 house in my market, it's a pretty $1,400 a month payment. It's a pretty small market right now.
In Arkansas?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, so, man.
Yeah. I mean, our average sales price runs $350.
Yeah.
So
I have the privilege of knowing this is from Michigan. So they've still got, you know, houses that are sub $300 in Michigan.
Yeah. And I don't even know what $1,400 is off the top of my head. It's not a lot, though. I mean, if you look at it, if you take a $250,000 mortgage at, let's say, 7%, well, it helps if I can operate my calculator. But
from the mortgage brokerage yeah. owner, everybody.
At $250,000 mortgage, not a $250,000 purchase, but a $250,000 mortgage is $1,660 plus that's principal and interest. So you're looking at another probably it's probably close to $2,000 a month.
Yeah.
So, you know, realistically, what, 170, 160 is probably what we're looking at there to be able to afford 1,400. And that's a sad statement. I mean, 1,400 used to be a really solid payment, you know?
Right.
It's just not. And it's a sad thing that we're having that discussion, but it's the reality. So we can talk about it should be lower and the interest rates should go down and the housing prices should go down. You know, this guy said the housing prices were inflated. They're not going down.
They're not going down.
So if they're inflated, that's true, and it's not going to change.
Yeah. I wouldn't tell him that at that point.
Me neither.
But that is true. Yeah. So, and I think that's a good thing for us to point out to the listeners. Don't point that out to him right now. We're not in the argue with the guy phase, okay? We're still in the asking questions and understanding how he's put things together phase. So we wouldn't argue with that. There is a really good close here that I want to highlight for people. And here it comes.
Ideal monthly payment.
Like 1,400 max.
1,400. Okay. So if you could get a house now that was everything you wanted it to be and the monthly payment was only 1,400 or less, would you be open to looking at a house?
If you could, would you? Or if I could, would you? Right? That was the if I could, would you close.
That's a good close.
Yeah, it's a good close. And he just took what the guy said and used it as a close. So if you're listening to this, the if I could, would you is a really easy close to use as long as you're doing it in the right frame of time. Now, I would argue that in some respects, this salesperson literally has peppered this guy with enough damn questions that he's probably confident there's not a bunch of other objections hidden there. And so he could go ahead and close, and we're only midway through the call here when he did that. Normally, right, before you close, you want to make sure that you've fleshed out any and all potential objections that you can. I'm pretty sure he did that. So wanted to highlight that good close there in the middle. And the guy ends up saying, yeah, sure, I would. Now, here's the thing. He said, I would, but we know that it's prices and it's money that's holding him back. So I want to go down to the end of this conversation. And I think that it was a bit of a weak ending of the conversation. And so let's listen to what he does, the salesperson. And then I'm going to give some advice based on the context of what's going on.
It's over in Lawton.
Okay.
So I think this one's nice. There are a few other options. If you want to stay under 1400, you don't have to wait until the interest rates come down. Just if you want to do that, and you want to get out of Candlewick, you don't need to stay there a few years.
We're not staying another 2 years, that's for sure.
Where are you gonna head to?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, wherever there's a $1,400 less
like
house.
Something that's worth buying too. I love Schoolcraft. I think you might like this one too. I just sent you a few. All right. Well, I sent you a few. Let me know if any of these spike your interest, and if they do, we can go look at them, okay?
All right.
All right, sounds good. We'll talk later.
Okay, now here's the problem. A couple of issues. We don't have a logical next step. When are we going to talk? Why are we going to talk? And what's the lead going to get out of it, right? We left it at, here's some houses. You go away. Let me know if you like them, or I don't even, maybe he said if you want to see them, or one of them, or if one of them spikes your interest. Wasn't even clear about what we're going to do or why we would do it, but the lead is supposed to let me know, right? Now, what's in the way of this guy buying now is money, the price of homes, his emotional feelings about the price of homes, and his ability to afford them, right, with the interest rate. So here's the thing. I would first try to shoot to go over to this guy's house. And it probably sounds something more like, all right, got it. Well, listen, I know we can get you out of that neighborhood and you don't have to be stuck there any longer. We heard the lead sentiments about his neighborhood not wanting to be there, right? Let's do this. I do this all the time for my clients. I can stop by for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. I can open up my MLS. You and I can go through and really sharpen up our numbers around what you can afford and exactly what that will be able to get you with regards to a home and everything that you're looking for in a better neighborhood, we can shop together online. And also, we can really run some numbers to make sure that you're doing your math right, because a lot of those internet calculators don't make any sense. I can stop by on Wednesday or Thursday for 10 minutes. Which one works better for you? If he pushes me back, okay, got it. Hey, I understand you're busy. The other thing that I do is I just quickly jump on Zoom. It takes like 5 minutes. I'll send you a link. Do you want to join it on your laptop or on your mobile phone? Because we can do the same thing right there, right? Where should I send it? So I want to get face-to-face with this guy. I don't want to get stuck in the classic position of, I'll send you houses, let me know what the next steps will be. What do you think, Brian?
I like Dale's approach, and it's better than the one I'm going to offer you. And it's still better than what he did. So I'm just going to offer an alternative, and the alternative is I'm going to send you some I'm going to send you an email with some of the properties that meet your criteria. Take a look at them. I will call you tomorrow. Should I call you during the day or in the evening? Oh, in the evening. Perfect. How about 6 o'clock? Awesome. I'll call you at 6 o'clock. We'll go over it. We'll set up an appointment to go take a look at some of these houses. That's the, I guess, the old version before there was Zoom. And honestly, the other thing that Dale did, super awesome. I can honestly say I've never done. I'm going to come over your house that's not a potential listing. I've never gone to somebody's house that wasn't potential.
Yeah, you know, that's something that's relatively newer, I would say, that back in the day, nobody ever went to a buyer's house. You made them come to your office, right? Yep. But, you know, these days, man, it's hard to get people to come to your office when you have all these electronic stuff. So I coach agents, don't get stuck on not getting a meeting because you aren't flexible about where it can happen, right? Hey, if the lead is like, no, I live in a trashy trailer park, I'm a hoarder, you can't come here. Hey, great. Everybody's got a coffee shop at least within a mile or two of their house. Yep. What's your favorite one? I'll buy your latte for you. Let's meet there, right? No worries.
Yep. But I mean, you need something. You need some kind of meeting, though, right? But that's the end. Yeah, you need some kind of meeting.
Get a meeting, man. And, you know, with this, like, buyer agents have to demonstrate value. We have to have a professional conversation, business conversation like we used to around buyer agency. We got to get face to face. It's easier to do it face to face or video to video, right? If I try to tell you over the phone how the sausage gets made for you to get a great buyer agent rep, I'm not as likely to win as if I can do it face to face with you.
Great. And agents are really going to have to embrace that idea that it's time to become salespeople. And yeah, maybe our show will become more popular.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, in all fairness to buyer agents, they do a lot of work. In fact, I feel like they work a little harder than us listing agents.
Not a little, a lot.
Yeah, a lot harder. It's just that there's been a piece of their business, of their requirements that's been missing. So us listing agents have to work pretty hard up on the front end, and then it's kind of coasting, right? As long as your seller is not a douche. But, you know, for buyer agents, they... Historic, you know, with the whole run out and show me a house, they didn't have to work too hard on the front end, but then they had to work really hard throughout the rest of the process. So they're just going to have to do a little more work on the front end, you know, brush up the professionalism, and we can help them do that.
Great.
Yeah. What do you got for us, Brian?
I've got a funny call. I don't know how else to say that. I could prep it, but I'm just going to say that sometimes the person on the other end of the phone is non-cooperative. I'll just leave it at that, and it's really interesting, actually. So, all right, give me a thumbs up if you can.
Oh, well.
Hello, hey, with Curtis Realty Group. Realtor.com asked me to reach out to you and touch base and see what questions you had about buying a home.
Oh, I don't have any questions about buying a home.
Can you pause?
Yeah, I had every intention of pausing it there. So
go for it.
So
I'll let you take this one, Brian.
Not a horrible intro question. However,
I think she's 50% there.
The problem is that someone like this, and granted, this is the exception, not the rule. I don't have any questions. That was literally his response. And I'm just calling to see if you have any questions. I don't have any. So the intro matters. Hey, I'm just calling, you know, realtor.com asked me to reach out to you and see if you had any questions about houses or you'd like to make an appointment to go see something. You know, some version of that. You got to give them more than do you have any questions. And I feel like the do you have any questions is a little weak, to be honest. It's
agreed.
I'm a little scared to ask you what I really want to ask you, and so I'll ask you this kind of thing.
Well, let me ask you a question. What type of realtor.com lead was it? Was it one where it's just like this person favorited or this person is interested in or requested info on?
They requested info on it. So all of the ones that we have, like you go to the realtor.com, you fill out the form, hit request. I think it's request info, some version of that. And then
yeah. So why wouldn't it just sound similar to a Zillow, right? Inquiry, a showing request. Why wouldn't it just be, hi, Brian, this is Dale Archtegan with Curtis Realty. Realtor.com asked me to reach out to you because you requested info on address. Are you wanting to go see it or did you have questions?
Right. And I don't know that we had the address. Sometimes we don't get the address, just to be honest.
Okay.
So that's why when I said my script, I didn't put the address in there because as you listen to this call, for whatever reason, the agent doesn't seem to be aware of the address that the buyer's acquired. Because sometimes they just inquire. Sometimes the data is not right. So sometimes you have to generalize. And so, hey, I've made an inquiry about a property. I was wondering if you had any questions or you'd like to go set up an appointment to go take a look.
Yeah. So she didn't talk about the appointment at all.
No, she skipped that. She just.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
you saw the problem it cost.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Good.
One place more.
Okay. Were you looking at some properties online like Zillow or Realtor.com or?
Oh, yeah. I want to view a home. Showing.
Okay. Tell me, let me know the address.
Wait a minute.
And
rewind it, Brian. This is classic, dude. This is classic.
Okay. Online like Zillow or Realtor.com or?
All the way.
You'll go all the way to the beginning?
Oh,
yeah. Go to where she asked a question, the answer to which was no, because
Hello?
She didn't
Hey,
answer
that right. Realty Group. Realtor.com asked me to reach out to you and touch base and see what questions you had about buying a home.
Oh, I don't have any questions about buying a home.
Okay. Were you looking at some properties online like Zillow or Realtor.com or?
Yeah, I want to view a home.
Okay. Tell me, let me know the address and I can get you scheduled.
Sure. It's 1280 E Columbus Boulevard.
Okay.
Pause it. Unless we're coming up on a pivotal moment.
Okay.
I do have something.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So that's so classic where she asked the wrong question and it was only one question. See what questions you have about buying a home. And he's like, I don't have a question about buying a home. I requested to see a property. Right. So if we know that the data comes in wrong from occasionally from the portals, right? We just bake it into the question.
Exactly.
And let's say I don't have data on you. I just got some sort of alert with no appended data. Hey, Brian, this is Dale Archdegan with Curtis Realty. Realtor.com asked me to reach out to you. They didn't fully send over all the information. Is there a property you're requesting to go see, or did you have questions about something else? What was it? You know, I'm asking, what's the action that you took?
Yeah.
And then they'll tell me, right? Oh, I wanted to see a property. Excellent. It's not showing me the address yet. Normally it takes a little while to come through. Do you remember the address?
Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with just saying, not even being that specific about the lack of information. Just, hey, you know, are you interested in taking a look at some properties or do you have some questions? I'm interested. I inquired about a property. I apologize. I don't have that address. What's that address? And I'll get set up for you.
Here's the reason why I want to say that I'm not getting the info and blame it on the portal is because my personality, I'm not going to be jovial about taking an action on your website and specifically asking for something. And then the supposed professional salesperson I speak to doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about or what I did, right? That gets me irritated. Like when you call into one of those places that you're a member of and they make you validate over the phone, like doing a retinal scan and entering your dog's second birthday, right? Date. And then you do that. And then you get on the phone with the salesperson like, oh, hi, who am I speaking with? What do you mean, who are you speaking with? I just did a retinal scan to get here. You better know who I am, right? It's that kind of feeling that I want to get rid of.
Okay. You should get rid of that feeling. I'm just kidding. Okay. Let's play a little bit more.
All right. What about that property caught your eye that you'd like to see in person?
Good question.
I don't have any particular words.
No? Okay. when are you looking to make a move?
Don't know yet.
Pause.
Have you...
Has she booked the appointment yet?
I don't think so. We get there.
Okay, yeah, she's got to give him what he wants before she asks additional questions.
That's, I agree with you, but that's not what's happening. I appreciate what you're saying. That's not what's happening here. Yeah. So here's a couple of things. I'll preface this now. This is somebody who is different, and I don't know how else to say that. Like, when somebody says to me, ask me, hey, I want to go, you know, do you have any questions about buying a house? I'm not going to say, I don't have any questions about buying a house. I'm going to say, hey, no, I don't have any questions, but I would like to make an appointment, right? I'm not going to just do, it's kind of like, you know, when you talk to a teenager, right? That's what it feels like. What are you doing tonight? Nothing. Would you like to eat? Yeah. Are you going to do that? Are you going to do anything after that? Maybe. That's what it feels like, right? I feel like I'm literally talking to a 16-year-old who's pissed off at the world. But I will say this, she does a decent job of handling it, and I think that's really what I want to point out about this call. The intro was obviously could have been better, would have helped us out. And now we're dealing with somebody who's got the personality of my wall. I mean, you can see that. So how do you handle that? I think it's worth listening to.
How long is this call?
Well, it was originally about 7 minutes, and I chopped it up, and I think it's about 4. So. But it's not really. It's about 7 minutes. I cut part of portions of that. So.
Got
worked
it.
With Rain. Anybody on financing, or are you planning to pay cash?
I just want to view this home.
Okay. It's really unique. It's got. It kind of looks like a castle. Yeah. Well, tell me your first name.
It's Anton.
Let's do something.
Anton. Okay.
Yep.
Great. And what's the best phone number to reach you at? Well, I do have to check with the seller to see if when we can get that scheduled. I'm trying to look at my schedule myself.
So I would have probably skipped the part telling him about this. We have to schedule it with the seller. Probably would have skipped that. I don't like the idea that we might potentially not be meeting. I want to book the appointment, and then if for whatever reason the seller's not available at whatever time we come up with, then I want to call that client back and say, hey, unfortunately, they weren't available tomorrow evening. Versus, I don't need to tell them I need to book it with the seller. This is what.
Yep. Hey, Randy, we're just finishing up our other segment of Cash Call. I'm just going to put you on mute real quick, and then we'll jump in with you. Cool. All right, there we go. Brian, how long is this call overall? I see it's pretty long. I can't see the number.
4 minutes. We're at 2.
4 minutes. Okay, got it. You know, I want to also offer a potential strategy here, too.
Please.
So this is a female salesperson. Mm-hmm. This is a male caller who isn't giving any information. One strategy or technique could be, now, if you're the kind of person like this caller is, who feels like it's appropriate to be as literal and as resistant to interacting with another human being as this person is. So think about it this way. The caller feels there's no problem with the way they're interacting with this salesperson. The salesperson is clearly a different personality type. So one way that this salesperson could potentially get more information and bridge the gap between their two personality styles and get what she needs is by excusing the fact that she's doing this, right? So imagine if she said, hey, listen, I can tell that you either don't want to give me a lot of information or you don't feel that it's important to give me a lot of information about you. And I apologize for asking you all of these questions. However, it's our policy that anytime we have an unknown new potential client and we agree to go and show them a home, we just have to validate and verify who they are before we do that. It's a safety concern for everyone involved. And so may I ask you some additional questions about you and your situation to validate that you are in fact a buyer?
I'd be okay with that. I think that's way to go for sure.
Yeah, so that's a good strategy. And I think that she keeps trying to nice him into a normal human interaction. And he keeps trying to stonewall her into what he believes is a sales and lead interaction. And they aren't matching. So she can apologize and put it into context for this robot who hopefully will understand that and give her what she needs.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, we did get the, you didn't hear it because I cut it out, but basically the appointment got booked. So,
good.
And then she's going to ask her basically to look at some more houses. So I'll fast forward a good. Little bit because we don't have a ton of time left here, but I'm going to fast forward to about a minute left and get an idea where we go with this. So.
Do you have the addresses?
Yeah, we should be able to do that from about noon to 1:30 or so. And so I will text you the order and get us connected to, I have to reach out to all the sellers, listing agents, and just confirm that we can go see them. But we can take a look at three homes and kind of talk about the buying process. Do you currently own a home or are you renting right now?
I'm not going to answer any of those questions.
Okay.
Boom.
Sure, let's meet tomorrow.
What was your
name
again?
Know each other. And
yeah, oh my God.
Natalie Burchett, and I'm a realtor with Curtis Realty Group.
Let me put her name.
Curtis Realty Group.
Not good.
You cut that out.
Yeah, we're local to the area.
We'll bleep that out.
Okay, Antoine, I will send you a quick text.
We can cut that out at the end anyway. But, you know, it's so interesting to me. Like, I'm not going to answer those questions. Holy crap.
Well, excuse me, but bleep you. Would be what's going on in the back of my mind. I won't say that, but, you know.
Since we don't actually know this person's full name, well, I do, but since the audience does, I will tell you, I looked him up on Forewarn. I don't know if you guys ever use Forewarn, but so Forewarn's a cool product, costs $20 a month. In essence, you put someone's phone number in there and it shows you a bunch of information about them. For example, it showed that this guy had a bunch of criminal stuff that he did back about 10 years ago. I don't know if I'd have met this guy, to be honest, by myself. He is creepy. He is a little bit. So, but I do want to say this. This is the biggest compliment I can give this agent. She stuck in there. She didn't do everything right, but she stuck in there. I mean, again, the call was about 7 minutes long. She ended up booking three houses. I don't know. I need to follow up and find out if anything ever happened with this. But, you know, this is a
You should probably check on her safety.
I saw her this morning. She's fine. So
okay, good. She's still alive.
That's this call was from February, and I saw her this morning, so she's just fine.
Wow.
So, yeah. Crazy, though. I mean, you know, I want to say this. I want to say I'm not sure I would have made it through this call. She did a great job. I probably would have told the guy to pound sand at some point in time. Just to be honest.
Yeah. I definitely would have done the get real that I suggested with this guy, which is, hey, if you want something, you're going to have to, you know, you can't just show up anonymously and gain access to another stranger's home or homes without identifying who you are. That won't happen.
And one of the things that I might have done is a test. I've done this probably three times, so this is not a process I use often, is, hey, by the way, our office has a policy that we, you know, just kind of like when you go to the doctor or you go to, you know, a lot of other places, is to have a copy of your driver's license on file. That's required by my broker. So would you mind go ahead and, you know, taking a quick shot of your driver's license and texting that over to me before we meet this afternoon?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Yeah. An honest person is going to have no issue with that.
Right. Exactly.
A criminal may have some issue with that.
What's that, Brian?
A criminal may have issues with that. Now, that doesn't guarantee just because somebody does it, they're an honest and good person. But again, if I'm a criminal, I definitely don't want to give somebody my driver's license as a rule.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for joining us again today, everybody. Come back again next week. Dale Archdeacon and Brian Curtis, we are over and out. Thank you.
Hey, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Cash Call today. If you like what you heard, come check us out at smartsalescoaching.com, and we'll be back again next week.